بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I went outside the other night to get something from my car, and I smelled immediately a very strong smell of a skunk. And the smell of a skunk, as I'm sure you're aware, is such a horrible smell that it makes it so unpleasant to be where you are, and you want to get out of there as soon as possible. And the closer the skunk is to you, the closer you are to the smell, the more stronger, of course, it appears to be, and the more motivation you have to get out of there as soon as possible. And when we pause and think about that mechanism, the fact that the skunk has this ability to spray, and spray something which smells so bad, which you can't wash off with soap, but you need to take a bath in tomato juice with, right? When you think about that, you say, subhanAllah, that this is the mechanism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the skunk to defend himself. Right? This is the mechanism of defense for the skunk. And there's so many other examples. So when we look at the animals, goats and bulls who have horns, some animals, and they all have different strengths, different tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to be able to protect themselves. So some have speed, and they'll be very fast, and it will be hard to catch them. Others will have a really strong kick. Or like the camel will be able to grab will have strong jaws and will be able to grab and not let go when it wants to defend itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the animals these tools, and the human being is no different. The human being is no different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us various tools to defend ourselves. So as individuals, when we think about ourselves, as human beings, when we think about defending ourselves, we think about it from primarily the animal perspective, which is expected because we are all animals at the end. So individually, when we think of about self-defense, we think about techniques to take out an opponent if you're attacked physically and you have martial arts. We think about learning how to shoot weapons and using different tools and so on. On a communal or a national stage, human beings gain the know-how of how to defend themselves collectively. And, we explore different methods of doing that, build different methods of building weapons to achieve that, all with the aim of self-defense, right? So that we are able to defend ourselves when there is aggression. But of course, what happens? It often ends up being abused and used in ways which are illegitimate. And we find, for example, like nuclear weapons, weapons which can take the life of many, many people, the lives of many people at one time, in a very short period of time, like the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which killed over 150,000 people, right? Mostly civilians, and more than half, or about half of the deaths happening on the first day. And there's many more examples of how human beings have, in the pursuit of being able to defend themselves, have come up with techniques and ways and tools that can be used and can be misused, and they have been used for oppression as well. So physical action is one way. Physical action is one way that human beings defend themselves and ensure their survival. Right? And this is a very animal type of instinct, and which is also important because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have encouraged the believers to acquire knowledge and tools to defend themselves. So that the believers are not floor mats. So that the believers are not like floor mats that anyone can come and threaten them, harm them, walk all over them, and they are totally incapable. They're totally helpless, they're totally incapable of doing anything about it. But since there is a possibility of harm, like I mentioned, there is a possibility that some harm might come out of this. The sacred law gives us strict guidelines The guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us strict guidelines on how to go about this. How to go about defending ourselves. How to go about acquiring that knowledge and those tools to ensure that the harm is as limited as possible and that the goal remains true and sincere. And what is the goal? To ensure the survival of our community, to ensure the survival of our faith, so that the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be propagated and they can be elevated. This is the purpose. The purpose is not to harm people. The purpose is not to oppress people. That is not the goal. That is not the methodology we want to take. The goal is to ensure the survival of our faith, of our community, of the teachings, so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah, can be elevated and they can be propagated. But that is not the only tool. That is not the only tool given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to defend ourselves. Self-defense and using force, that is not the only tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to deal with those who have hatred and those who have enmity against Islam. That's not the only tool. And many times we end up getting stuck on that first part, where we think that is the only option we have. That is not the only tool. There is a tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us all with. A tool that Allah has blessed us all with, which can have a great positive effect. Can have a great positive effect on people. One that sometimes, many times, can be more powerful than weapons. That has great transformative powers. Now, brothers and sisters, it is the ability to convey messages, to make arguments, to make statements through speech and writing. Sometimes we underestimate the value of words. We underestimate the value of words. But when we look at our tradition, when we look at history, when we look around us, we must realize that words have immense power. Words have immense power. And we underestimate that power sometimes. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was given the revelation, the first word, the first act had to do with words. Iqra. Iqra has to do with words, of course. The preaching of the Prophet ﷺ, him carrying out his mission to invite people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was done through words. Right? So whether he was sent with Jawami'ul Kalim, the shortest expressions with the widest meanings. He had that ability. He was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have that ability to make a short statement which had profound meaning. Small, few words, not long paragraphs like we write. You want to make 2 points, you write a 5-paragraph email. Right? Halfway through, a person dozes off or they lose interest. Right? The Prophet ﷺ was not like that. Prophet ﷺ, his speech was concise. And it had deep, deep meaning in it. So when he was preaching, and he was carrying out his mission, whether it was in person, right, he did it through words, or he wrote letters. He wrote letters to various world leaders, people who were far away, he wrote letters to them. When the Muslims fled Mecca, in the beginning when there was extreme persecution against the Muslims, and it was just too much, the Muslims fled Mecca in the first emigration to Abyssinia. And there they were forced to defend themselves. Right? Not through physical action, but rather against what? Accusations that the Quraysh were making against them in the court of the King Najashi. So the king was willing to give them asylum, but the Quraysh didn't want that. And they were there to make accusations against the Muslims. So the Muslims nominated Ja'far ibn Abi Talib to speak on their behalf. They nominated him to speak on their behalf, and he gave an eloquent speech. And if you read the text of the speech today, it conveys so much about our faith, about our deen, which many of us have forgotten and so many others don't know about. And so he gave an eloquent speech explaining Islam, and the response won the heart of the king. The response, the speech that Ja'far radiallahu anhu gave, it won the heart of Najashi. And even though the representatives of the Quraysh, even though they tried to bring up other points, why don't you ask them about this? Why don't you ask them, because the king was Christian, why don't you ask them about what they believe about Isa alayhi salam? Because they knew that was important to the king. So even though they were faced with all this type of questioning, this cross-questioning, Yet still they were able to hold their own and give the right answers, especially because they were quoting the Qur'an as well. Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, Islam's earliest poetic defender, sanctioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approved by the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He would compose poetry in the defense of Islam. And this was, he was actually commanded to do that by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam knew it had a good chance it would work. It will be able to demolish the arguments and the actions and the words which were being said against the deen of Islam. So clearly the use of words, the use of words, whether they're written or spoken, has played a major role in the defense of Islam, in the defense of Muslims and the propagation of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized the value of speaking the truth, especially in the defense of Islam or the propagation of Islam. Right? So words do matter. And we'll see in numerous examples that words have a great value. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalul jihad kalimatu 'adlin 'inda sultanin ja'ir." Right? That the best type of jihad, the best type of struggling, of striving in the way of Allah, is speaking a true word or a word of justice in the presence of a tyrant ruler. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described that as afdalul jihad. Afdalul jihad, right? The best type of jihad, the best type of struggle and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to say a word, a true word, just a word, in the presence of a tyrant ruler. And this is what we see when we recite the Quran. This is what Musa alayhi salam did. This is the task that he was given, to go in front of Fir'aun, to go in front of Fir'aun and speak the truth in front of him. That was the task of Musa alayhi salam. And he had, you know, that speech impediment. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was unsure at first. You know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? So he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked for Allah's help. He asked that his brother would be made a prophet as well, so that he would have company and they would go together. And they went ahead and they did it. So that's the value of words. And of course, there's a famous hadith. The famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi." Whoever amongst you sees something objectionable, something that's wrong, something that's amiss, let him change it with his hand. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي. There we see the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings up the tongue. If he's not able to, then with his tongue. And if he's not even able to do so, then with his heart. And the latter is the weakest form of faith. So basically, if you have the ability, if you have the ability, if you have the authority to bring positive change with your hands, to bring about positive change with your hands. Because if something is incorrect and you use your hands to make it worse or to do something else which is incorrect, then you're not following the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. The purpose is to fix something which is wrong. So if you have the ability, if you have the authority, and that's also very important, to bring positive change with your hands, you're able to do it, you have full authority to do it, you are in a position to do it, it's going to make a difference, it's going to make things better. It's going to make things better, your actions. Then that's your first option. Then that's your first option. If not, then your tongue. Then you resort to the use of words. You use your tongue to bring about positive change. And if you cannot even do that, if you cannot even do that, either you don't have the ability to do it, you don't have the authority to do it, or whatever the circumstances may be, you're not able to do it, then at least in your heart, understand that it is wrong. Believe that it is wrong. And this is very important, because if a person is not able to do something about something which is wrong, either with his or her hands, with his or her tongue, then at the very least, if the person believes that it's wrong in their hearts, that will guide his actions. That will guide his or her actions. If you even lose the heart, okay, let alone making actions through or physically or through words, if we even lose the belief, the understanding that something is wrong in our hearts, then we're just going to delve right into it. We're not even going to recognize it as being something wrong. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that there are stages, and if you're able to, if you have the authority, if you have the ability, you have a chance of making change, positive change, you try your best. Physically, you try your best with your tongue with your words, and at the very least, you understand and you believe that it is wrong inside your heart, and you let your actions act accordingly. So this hadith is further evidence that using words, that using your tongue, is high in terms of importance. It's not something minor. It's not something which is not important. It's not something which can be easily disregarded. All of this tells us that response to attacks on Islam and Muslims should be countered in different ways, depending on what is most appropriate under the circumstances. Depending on what is most appropriate under the circumstances. This is why the Prophet ﷺ has given us various options. Has emphasized that there are various options. Collectively, our countries which are known as being Muslim countries, have pretty much all but lost the authority, or the ability rather, to bring about positive change. Right? When we look around the world, when you look at Muslim countries around the world, that's what we find. They've pretty much all but lost the ability to bring about positive change, to stop oppression, for example. They have so many of their own issues. There are so many issues within the country itself, within Muslim countries. And if there are people, and there are people who want to bring about positive change, many times they get into trouble themselves for trying to bring about that change. When Muslims or others are oppressed, right, when they're kicked out of their homes, for example, their homes are bulldozed, and people are killed, and they're bombed, and they're killed, as we see, unfortunately, many times in Palestine, in Syria, as we're seeing in other places, there's no Muslim country, unfortunately, that has the clout, or the courage, or the power to do anything about it. Right? We're all spectators. Right? We are watching, they're watching, everyone's just watching. We make dua. Okay, so that's out the window. Nothing's happening. Then comes the next option, which is our tongue, our words, the ability to speak. This is a tool that we have. But very quickly, unfortunately, we are losing our ability to use it effectively and properly as well. Because of our indifference, because of our distractions, because of the things that we have been distracted by or that we think are important, we are quickly losing that ability as well, unfortunately, to use it effectively and to use it properly, and that's very important. And this tool, the tool of making speech, of writing, of making logical arguments and debates, this is something we can all do, and I might add, likely most effective right now. It is most likely the most effective tool that we can use right now in our situation. When we are dealing with those, when we are dealing with people who have hatred for Islam, who have hatred for Muslims, and they truly have hatred and enmity. They're not people who are not aware. They're not people who are, you know, ignorant. They've grown up in some village, in some, you know, farm somewhere. They never heard of Islam, Muslims. The only thing they learn about Islam was through the media and so on. Right? I'm not talking about those people. Right? There's many, many people who don't know. They've never met a Muslim before. Right? You'll see them in town. You go to Queens. You go to university. You'll see students. You'll see people. Right? You'll come across them who've never, you know, who just don't know. They've been oblivious to it. They have no idea whatsoever. Right? And they're open to understanding. They're open to knowing, and they're willing to learn. And I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the people who know very well, and they purposely hate Islam, and they purposely want Muslims to be hurt, and they purposely want trouble for our community. I'm talking about those. We have an obligation to deal with them and their propaganda. We have an obligation towards that. Let's be very clear. In a just, a permissible, and legal, but firm way. Right? So it has to be just, as I talked about a few weeks ago. Right? There's those conditions, so it has to be just, it has to be permissible, it has to be legal, it has to be wise and all those things. But also, I would say firm. We cannot be silent observers. We cannot just think that everything will be okay. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and just pretend that there's nothing happening. Just because we can't hear it, there's no problem. That is not going to work. We all have a responsibility when it comes to this. I still think, I could be wrong, but my guess is that these people that I'm talking about, who truly have hatred for Islam and for Muslims, who would do anything to hurt if they could, if they knew there were no consequences, they would go out and hurt Muslims. And they do, sometimes. Unfortunately, we're still hearing about attacks and hatred against Muslims and Islamic institutions. Right? In the past week, we had a few incidents in Canada, right? The number, I believe, 3 incidents that happened, hate-based incidents. Alhamdulillah, no one was hurt. But incidents which express hatred towards Islam and Muslims, and these happen at masajid at various mosques across the country. So I believe that this group of people, these extremists who are filled with hate, are a minority. They still are a minority. The silent majority, I think, are still fair-minded people. Right? I come across many people. I meet them, they might come up to me, they might recognize me and say, "I saw you in the paper," or whatever. They come up and they're still, or they send an email, and they're still, you know, there are many, my guess is, many fair-minded people who are willing to give us a chance, right? Who are willing to be fair before they actually start believing the propaganda. So we have that window of opportunity to reach out, to make our case, to be heard before the propaganda overwhelms our tiny whispers here and there that we hear coming from our side. Our voices are so few and they're not being heard. This is a common complaint that, okay, I don't want to believe this propaganda. It doesn't sound right to me. This hatred and this propaganda against Islam and against Muslims does not appear right to me. People will say this, but where are the Muslims? Where are the voices of the Muslims? How come they're not saying anything about this? Why are they not letting me know about their point of view? Why are they not offering their perspective? And don't blame the media, please. Okay, responsibility starts from us. It starts from us. So we need to be part of the conversation. We need to be in on the discussions. And we need to speak up. But we need to do it properly and wisely. We need to do it properly and wisely. In our minds, what is speaking up? Going on the street, having a big rally, shouting angry slogans, right? Carrying placards that express our anger and frustration. And this is speaking up. Right? In our minds, this is what speaking up means. But it doesn't do any good for us. I will argue, and you can disagree with me. But I believe that that does not do anything good for us. It allows us to vent our frustration and our anger, but that's about it. Okay? It does not do anything constructive, anything positive for us. We need to be taking every opportunity to be positive and to be rational. Speaking in a way that's concise, that makes the point, and makes it in a way that it encourages people to think and it makes sense to people. Speaking in a way which is concise, which makes the point, and makes it in a way that it encourages, it causes people to think, to reflect, and it makes sense. When a fair-minded person reads or hears what we have to say, it appeals to them. They can understand, it makes sense. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? That's the big question. Okay. So first of all, we have to realize, because you know, recently, many of us, many people generally, have been talking about freedom of speech. How freedom of speech, the concept is, you know, there's a double standard. There's a double standard when it comes to Muslims. That everything goes in terms of freedom of speech regarding Muslims, but when it's about anyone else, it's not accepted. Right? This is a common thing we're hearing about. What I tell people is this. I said, if others have freedom of speech, and they're talking about freedom of speech, well, you too have freedom of speech. Okay, Muslims have not been denied the freedom of speech yet. Okay, so you have the freedom to speak, you have the freedom to give speeches, to write letters, to write articles, to you know have advertising campaigns. You have the freedom to do that as well. So if others are doing it, using it negatively, why don't you use it positively? Right? It's equally available to everyone. Right, so short-term, mid-term, long-term. Short-term, some of the things we can do, these are just ideas. First of all, start paying attention. Start paying attention, especially to the media. What hate and propaganda is there? Who is saying what? We need to know. If you are not aware, we will not be able to have an intelligent conversation regarding it. Number one. Number two, acquire the tools. As I mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encouraged the believers. Acquire the tools to defend yourselves. So acquire the tools. Seek to improve your communication skills. Seek to improve your writing skills. Find out. Get help. Ask those who know. And thirdly, when you come across something in the media, when you come across and you hear about something, say something appropriate and wise, and something positive that can actually make people think. Write a letter to the editor. Right? I worked at a newspaper. I know, I have an idea of how many letters actually come in. They're not that many. Okay? And the ones that do come in, most of them are long rants. So don't send a long rant in. Okay? And many of them don't even make sense. Okay? And they're not publishable material. So write letters to the editor. Right? Even if they're not printed, the editor will look at them. They will. One of the best ways for a newspaper, one of the only ways for journalists, for the media to know what people are thinking is to hear from them. And they value that. When I was working, we would value that. One time I wrote an article and the editor came by, oh, it provoked a great response. So we probably got like 5 or 10 letters, but it was a great response. Right? Because for most of the time, these letters won't come in. If many people start writing, it will get heard. It will get heard, and there's a good chance that it might make a difference too. And I've seen that happen. Alhamdulillah. So that's the short term. The midterm, start supporting Muslim organizations and those who are speaking up for the community. There are organizations out there, right? Like CareCan, for example. They are trying to speak up for a community, but the funding is not there. The support is not there. The financial support is what is needed. And we have to put our money with our mouth. If you want people to defend our community, if you want people to stand up and be positive and be proactive, we need to support them. Also, build contacts and alliances with others who are also against the promotion of hate and who want to live in peace. There are many other people, there are many other groups, other faiths, other cultural groups who don't want hatred. They don't like hatred against Muslims, they don't like hatred against themselves, they don't want hatred for anyone. They want everyone to be able to live in peace. Start building alliances with such people. Start talking to them. You know, you might have heard about the subway ads in New York City run by an extremist group in the U.S., which targets Muslims or targets Islam. And guess who's standing up? Also taking out ads, speaking out against those ads in the support of Muslims. A group of rabbis, a Methodist group, a Christian group. These are the groups who are taking out ads. Love your Muslim neighbor. That's the message in one of them. One of them, I believe, is posted immediately beside these other ads that they're countering. Right? So there are other people. There are people of other faiths who are willing to be fair, who want to do the right thing. So build those alliances and build those links. Long term, encourage children, encourage young people within our community to get into writing, to become journalists, to become writers, especially those who have a good understanding of faith. Give them a good understanding of faith. Give them a good tarbiyah. But also equip them with these tools, which we need more and more. Right? You know, we have certain careers, certain paths, which are always encouraged. Which are always encouraged. And a lot of times it has to do with how much money you can make. Right, so go into the fields in which you can get the most amount of money. That's usually the approach. What I'm saying is we need to change that. We need to change that. We need to encourage our young people. We need to encourage our children. And even if they go into those fields, to have those skills, which will help them in every way. A person who is a good communicator will be a good communicator all around, even if he or she is in another field. Right. So having good communication skills, having good writing skills is, you know, it's not exclusive. They're not mutually exclusive. You can have that and you can also be something else. But this is a very, very, very important tool that we must all have and encourage. And also I would say start thinking about marketing campaigns, right? Advertising campaigns to reach people directly. Right? If you're saying that the media doesn't listen to you, you don't get a chance to speak up. And I don't think that's actually true, because I believe that if you start building those links and you start, you know, building relationships, you can actually, and if you have a coherent message, you will get the airtime, I believe that, inshallah. But still, work on marketing campaigns. Right? Get ads and buses and newspapers and other places to reach people directly. Right? Give them that proper message and that proper understanding that you're saying that nobody's allowing us to give. Go ahead and take these steps. And inshallah, you'll see that if we do this sincerely, if we do it with good intentions, if we do it properly and we do it wisely, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give barakah and will help us in allowing people to get a better understanding of Islam and of Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims and all of those who are oppressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability, the courage, the skills to be able to defend our faith and our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen wa khudama alhamdulillah.